Sally, you're up.
I'll start with the same disclaimer. I'm speaking for myself and in no way for anyone else. That's always been my stance, I guess. and I will not spill my guts, so those of you who are waiting for that might as well leave. I wasn't sure when I was invited whether I was here as part of the problem or part of the solution. I'm listening eagerly for signals, and it seems that maybe I'm on the solution side. So let me go forthwith. As I read the paper originally filed by CPR on the website, I was struck by the phenomenon of conflating substance and process. To be sure, there are horrors to recount. To be sure, the agencies are in dire situations. But is it really OIRA's fault? Is that the entity that is to be blamed for all of this? And my mind went off to remember the early 60s and states' rights. And it was a bad thing because the states were all rushing on civil rights, racing to the bottom. And it was terrible, and we didn't like states' rights. It was a bad thing. And flash forward now to the current time, and whether you take the areas of preemption or you take the areas of gay rights, hey, the states are pretty good guys. And states' rights might actually have something to commend itself for. And so you wonder whether the extent to which there is so much hostility or suspicion about OIRA is that you're focusing on the messenger rather than the message. And the proof of that, I think, is that if OIRA were tasked to do what the paper wants it to do, to advocate for more funds for the agencies, to reissue prompt letters and tell them what they're supposed to do, to research what's wrong with cost-benefit analysis, and you give that to-do list to the Bush administration OIRA, you wouldn't get what you wanted. It wouldn't happen. It's not the designation of what they should do. It's the starting point of what their objectives are. And therefore, I think you really should try to separate. And what's, going back to Curtis's, the idea of what is the benefit of OIRA? I'd like to take a step back and remind you that what OIRA does for regulations, other components of OMB do for the entire rest of the government. If you are talking about proposed legislation from an agency, it goes through OMB, where it is circulated to other affected agencies, where comments are provided, and where the president's priorities and preferences are reflected before it goes up to the Hill. And God forbid we should miss the budget. The agencies don't come up with their wish list and send them off and say, here they are. No, somebody reviews them. And what OIRA does for regs is what the rest of OMB does for the government. It's a second opinion. It's a quality control. It's an interagency coordination, all of which could be done for the good or could be done for the ill, depending upon the starting point and the predilections that might be happening. Quickly, to pick up on some of the questions that David asked us to address, on legitimacy of centralized review, I believe it is not only constitutional, and I don't care whether you use overseer, Peter, or decider. You can get rid of Section 7, but you ought to get rid of the Myers case as well, where it said that even in those areas where the president is not allowed to interfere, he can take the decision made after the fact as an indication of the caliber of the person and who serves at the pleasure of the president and ask them to resign. Hello. There's a circle here. I mean, it should not be difficult to follow. On transparency, I don't think the transparency should be time limited to the formal period, but this goes to my prescription, because I'm getting mine in quicker. My prescription is to get OIRA involved earlier, not later. Right now, it works on the margins after there's been a huge investment of time and energy. Why not get them in earlier and have the entire process, informal, formal, what difference? Have that be transparent. Have that input, though, early on so people can work with that and deal with that. And in that context, as many horrors exist here, I just want to tell you that in 12866, The most oft-repeated phrase is, quote, to the extent permitted by law, close quote, something that we took seriously, and we did not trample on an agency's authority. In terms of the delay, again, it may be that because it comes so late, it seems like less value added. Were OIRA review to begin earlier, it may be much more effective in that regard. And with respect to the independent agencies, David's not going to shut me up now. With respect to the independent agencies,
time's up, Sally.
My sense is that it's not an all or nothing. It's not treat them as an executive branch agency or keep them outside. As it is, executive independent agencies are subject to Section 4, which is the agenda process. And that's to give notice of what they're doing, which even if they're independent, and I believe they are, it is good government to know what they're doing. And as we get more interrelated, take the financial services, for God's sake. Some of them are executive branch. Some of them are independent agencies. Shouldn't there not be a little bit more coordination, maybe restraint on the effectiveness or the effect of the policy prescriptions, but nonetheless, you could have a hybrid kind of relationship, and we can explore this during the questions and answers because David won't let me talk anymore now.
Right.